back to God. When they come, they are very good observers. They see that everybody is unhappy. Guru Nanak says, I see all are unhappy. Wherever you cross your sight, you see all are unhappy. Then Swamiji came up, he also says, oh soul, I see you are unhappy. First thing to be considered is when the masters come, they don't look to us on the labels we are carrying on our bodies to show in which school of thought we are joined to know God. They simply address, oh man or oh soul. Kabir also the same thing, ever since a man is born, I have never seen any man happy. And the Quran, the Mohammedan scripture also say, it is a home of distress. Tulsi Sahib, a great saint, it tells us, all are unhappy, some physically, some want of money, some unaccompanied on some mind. So they all observe like that. The question remains, master come. And they go into the matter, what is the cause of their unhappiness? They solve the mystery of life. And they came to the conclusion, it is all due to the fact that we are ignorant of what man is, what you are, what is your connection with your body and all around. So say, solve this mystery of life, then find out where the shoe pinches, why we are unhappy. So they gave out all masters that they came from. They came from the east or the west, all gave out the same thing. Greek philosophers, they came up and they said, man knows thyself, of course, in their own Greek language. Gnoti theotom. All Latin philosophers also say the same thing in Latin language. Gnosi dipsi. All Persian philosophers, they say the ultimate goal of all knowledge is to know oneself. He says we are man. Man has three aspects. It has got body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity. So we have known so much about the man body, about our intellect, or nothing about our own self. We do know about ourselves only that much, what we have read in scriptures. So knowing oneself is the start, basic thing, whereafter we can know God. Because God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, or mind, or intellect. God alone can be known by soul, which is of the same essence as that of God. God is all consciousness. Our soul is the top of the ocean of all consciousness. So like knows the like. Generally what we see, we know at the level of our feelings are drawing inferences. And both of them are subject to error. Seeing is above all. So it should see that it is purely a matter of self-analysis. By rising above body consciousness, who we are and what we are. We say it is our body, it is our outgoing faculties. We can put off I say my spectacle, we can put it off. My watch, we can put it off. My coat, we can put it off. But can you put off our body too? We say it in my body. So masters come up to give us a demonstration of that. Really, how to rise up body conscious. So you know the outward expression of the soul is called attention. So our attention is identified with the body, with the outgoing faculties, in the outward world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So to say, our soul is under the control of mind. Mind is the control of the outgoing faculties. And outgoing faculties are driven like anything by the outside enjoyments. So we are identified with themselves so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. Now you find, it is we who will live in the whole body. It is we from which these outgoing faculties take strength to work. But pity is the whole thing topsy-turvy. Horse had to run, take away the carriage, and carriage is put before the horse. This thing, I think you might have noticed in your daily life, when one man is sitting in some absorbed thought, somebody calls you once, twice, thrice, you do not reply, he comes up to you, asks, dear friend, I have called you so many times, why don't you reply? He says, my attention was absorbed somewhere else. So long the attention is not with the ears don't work. Similarly, sometimes you will find that your eyes are open and you are sitting in a very absorbed state. Somebody passes by you and do not understand, do not recognize who has come and who has gone. Newton was solving a mathematical problem by a roadside, and a band passed by him while playing. Later on, another man came up and inquired, Newton, and a new band has passed by this place. He says, I don't know. Now you will find these outgoing faculties take strength from us. Unless our attention is theirs, they don't work. So how to this demonstration can be had? How to know oneself by practical self-analysis at the feet of the master? So they gave us a demonstration. Really, how to rise above body consciousness. We see for our own selves. Then how can we be happy? Well, because the attention is absorbed all outside. When it is withdrawn from outside practically, this house is a wonderful house we live in, which has got so many holes, so many apertures, two of the eyes, two of the nostrils, two of the ears, and mouth, and 200. So there are so many holes, doors in the man body, opening outside, but we do not run away out of it. So our body works as long as we are in the body, and we are in the body as long as we are controlled in the body by some power. That power is one that the maker of all creation and controller of all creation and permeating all creation. That very power also keeps us in the body. So when we rise above body consciousness by withdrawing our attention from all outside and from the body below, the demonstration of which is given by Master, adapted that way, then you know I am not the body. I am not the outgoing faculty. I am not the intellect. He says, these take strength from me. I am the one eliminating the old body. When you see that, then you can see that power working over it. The highest aim of a man's body is to know God. Who can know God? We. Who are we? We are conscious entities. When we are analyzed from all outside, outgoing faculties, mind and intellect, rise above it, we see that power is working. So there was an atheist. In his home he had got a very big hall. On that one motto was written, God is nowhere. His child, he was dying. He was at death bed. He was an atheist. And the child came up. He began to read, G-O-D, God, I-S is, and no W now, H-E-R-E here. God is now here. And the dying man said, yes, my child, there's some power that is controlling us. So if we know God, we must know ourselves. Because it is the conscious entity which can know the all consciousness. So there's another way. If you rise to body consciousness, just as a dying man leaves the body and come to the back of the eyes, when his eyes are upturned, if you know how to rise there while alive, you'll see that power. So man is the highest in all creation. It is next to God. Angels will also bow down before the man body. Even the gods and goddesses, if they like to meet God, know God, they have to take the body of man. So he is the highest in all creation. All the Upanishads are the same. When the souls of the rishis returned after enjoying the bliss of the higher planes, and they chose the man body to enter, because in man body alone can man know each God and no other. Even gods and goddesses cannot reach him unless they take the man body. So man has got three aspects, as I submitted before. It has got man body, it has got intellect, and it is conscious entity, a top illusion of all consciousness. So we have made progress, advancement, wonderfully, physically too. We know how the physical body can be maintained, how the diseases arise, how those can be set right. They've got so many patches at our command. Oldest is the Ayurvedic, then the Yunani system, then the allopathic, homeopathy, naturopathy, electronic treatments. So many is coming. Intellectually, we have also advanced very wonderfully. That is before you. We can hear and see man speaking at a distance, thousands of miles, through radio. What he is speaking and who is speaking through television. We have visited the moon, and we are visiting other planets also. We can go around the world in hours. With all these advancements, we are not happy. That's the reason. So Master tells us, you can be happy if you rise above body consciousness, analyze yourself from mind and outgoing faculties, know yourself. When you know yourself, like knows the like. You'll find that power within your body. So Guru Nanak gave the same thing. He says, all world is unhappy if he knows himself, withdraws himself from all outside and from the body below, then he comes in contact with that controlling power, God into expression power, which is called Nama, world. Only such a soul can be happy. Because that is the bread of life and water of life. We have given food to the body, we have become physically strong. We have given food to the intellect, we have gone intellectually strong. With all these, we have inventions of bombs, neurotic bombs, hydrogen bombs. The world is afraid. Anytime this war begins, the world will come to an end. But had we known ourselves first, then all these things should have gone, then what would have found? That we are of the same essence as that of God. We are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. As such, we are all brothers and sisters in God. So all these atomic powers, this and that, would have gone to help mankind. All this is due to what? Because we have done little or nothing to know ourselves. And moreover, you'll find, after this man body is given to us temporarily, it won't last long. This is the first companion that comes along with us into the world. But when we leave the world, this does not go along with us. So you discover all the one man who rises above body consciousness, his angle of vision is changed. You know, Christ did say, it is easy for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man with so much of possession expended in thought, he cannot, no hope for him. So if your angle of vision is changed, you would have the right perspective of the right vision of these things. If a man of millions or thousands or hundreds or nothing, they leave everything here. To earn money is not a bad thing, but earn it with honest means. Help yourself and help others. Man is one who is of help to others too. Animals only of help them to themselves. Look to the face of the animal, it is like that, facing earthwards. If it remains earthwardly, no strange. God is man made face upward. So this want, all masters want is that man should prove the true Son of God. We are all brothers and sisters of God. In that case, he needs in the world will have. Kingdom of God will come to on earth. You are conscious entities. As man, you will find we are one. Man is born with the same privilege from God. Born the same way. Outer construction the same. Two eyes, two hands, two feet, two ears, two nostrils. Inner construction also the same. All have got stomach, lungs, intellect. So as a man, we are one. As soul, we are drops of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all brothers and sisters and as such, we are all brothers and sisters in God, we are already one. And whom we worship, called by so many names, that is also the same. The archers may be many, but the target is the same. You remain in any social body, in any religion, all pray to God. Oh God, although we have not seen, this is the natural instinct with a neat body, you know some power is there. So, it is the third aspect about which we know little or nothing. That is why all this happiness, unhappiness due to. Then the Master tells us, look here, your conscious entity. You are God in spirit and you are spirit in man. as spirit is eternal, and why you fear that you will die? So the body whom we worship is the same. This is the angle of being changed like that. So as such you will find the world will be all happy. The world is, this is the first self-evident fact we have taken here. Second self-evident fact is the world is not our home, nor this body which we are living in. Our true home is the house of our Father. We are conscious entities. Everything goes to its original source, light a candle. The flame will go up, even to upward it, even then the flame will go up. But the source of light, sun, is upward. You throw a cloud of earth very high in the heavens, again that will return to earth, because the source is earth below. So our soul is just controlled by these things and identified and being under the control of mind, which is material. We always being led to the earthly things. So they tell us, this man body is not your permanent home, not this world. Your real home is above all heavens. It is that place which is the house of our Father. So naturally, those who come to that awakening, their angle of vision is changed. They consider self to be just stuck fast in the earth, whereas his true home is above all heaven. So body is the first companion, as I told you, which came along with us when entering the world, whether king or the subject, rich or the poor, learned or the unlearned, all have to leave the body. In the saints, in the incarnations, they took body and left the scene, and we have also to leave the world someday. So it is a wonderful house we live in. This works, as I submitted already, it works only so long as we are body, and we are in the body so long as some power is controlling us in the body. So this is the high time. Man body is the golden opportunity that we have got. Why? Because in this man body only we can know God, and in no other body. All scriptures speak very highly about it, and they tell us that desire the full body as long as you are in the body. Kabir says, keep the body as long as you can. Rishi told, well, keep it at least up to 100 years. Once this is passes out of our hand, we will go where we are attached. If you are attached to the world, naturally you come round and round to the earth. If, while in man body, we know ourselves and have a contact with all consciousness within, naturally we will go after death to the tomb of the Father. So all scriptures tell us this is man body in which God is manifested, can be manifested. This is had by very good fortune. It is your turn to meet God. So man, the greatness lies in the fact that he know God. He can know God. If he has not known God, why brags so much, I am the head of all creation? So the highest thing that we have to find is to know God. So body is the true temple of God, in which you live in which the light of God is manifest. Outer temples were made out of the man body, bundle of man body. All masters who came, they said, the two masks is the man body. God does not reside in temples made by human hands, but He does live in body, in the house which he has built in the womb of the mother. That's the man body. So outer places of worship, whether they are temples of the Hindus, they are dome-shaped, whether they are mosques, forehead-like shaped, whether they are churches, long, nose-shaped.
You keep it straight.
Yes, the two symbols of God are kept. And God wanted, I one and wish to be many. There was vibration, and vibration results in two things, light and sound. So God is light, and God is nada. God is the music of the spheres. So these outer temples were made just to let the beginners know that such like guide and such like light and such like sound of God, voice of God, is reverberating within your own man body. The body in which you live, that is the true temple of God. Outer temples were only made to let those understand, those are new, what is what. So same light, the same light you have got in the churches, the same light is lit in the temples, the same light is lit in the mosques. So these are only models made, which is the better, best of all. So Master tell us that man body is the best of all in which the light of God is reflected. So I mean the ideal of all religions at our hand is what? A Sikh is he who sees the full effulgence of light within him. He is called a Khalsa. A Hindu is one who, instead of lighting outside, he lights the within, sees the light within. See? A Mohammedan one who sees the light of God. And a Christian is also one who sees the light of God. Ultimate goal is the same. That school is better in which many students come up successful. Which school is better? Which has got high, very grand buildings, very good playing grounds, very good dresses of the students. Where no student passes and gets a higher degree. The watch is there, made of gold, studded with rubies.
That's father.
And it does not give time then. So man body, that religion, that school of thought is the best in which that turns out so many successful students who see the light of God. But who can make us see that light of God? That's the question. Masters always say that light is within you. The body is the temple in which the light of God is refulgent. Why, man, you are going round and round outside. If you want to find him, tap inside. That is what Emerson says. So for that reason, it is the Master's, Christ said, I have come to make people see who do not see. Take heed that the light which is within you is not darkness. We are all children of light, enveloped by so many sheets. You know how to take off these sheets, you see the light is already there. So for that reason, that is there, why can't we see? Master said there is light within. The reason is because in contact with mind and matter, soul is going round and round, because wherever it attached, it will go there. And further, the law of karma, cause and effect, as you sow, so shall you reap, that goes on in operation. If you sow a good seed, you will reap good fruit. If you sow a bad seed, then the result will be bad. So now the only thing remains, and the mind position, the more you give, the more it wants. The more you enjoy outside, the more mind, more enjoyment. So So the Upanishads tell us what is that, by knowing which, then nothing more remains to be known. Mind is permanently satisfied. That can be had, that is within us. Master says that we have seen God everywhere. And we also see, I have seen God in this man body too. Why do we not see? They say mind stands in the way. So first thing you see, we have to control the mind. And Master says, you have got a resolute will to meet God, put a step on your mind first, control it. The next step that you will take, that to reach the house of your father. Now, how to control the mind? Masters.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the satsang for Master Kripal Singh. This morning, our reader is Tanya Franklin. Are you there, Tanya?
Yes, thank you, John.
Okay, go ahead.
An invocation to our blessed spiritual guide, the living word made flesh, Kripal Singh Ji Maharaj, who will not forsake us till we reach our eternal home. The reading today is from The Light of Kripal, chapter 17. And it's an evening darshan in Rajapur, and it's dated September 23rd, 1970. Some world problems beyond the solution of man. We have our problems in America. Problems are everywhere. Prejudices are everywhere, not only in America, but everywhere. Problems are sometimes man-made, sometimes unavoidable. What are the problems over there? Convey some of them to me. In America, we have racial problems that seem to be coming to a boil now, and also there seems to be a greater problem as far as confrontation between the generations is concerned. It's everywhere, but in an advanced country like America, it should be less there. And we are also have a current problem of inflation. Man will have to learn at a very high cost in due course. They will come around, but at a very high cost, I tell you. These things lead to where? To destruction. Don't you think so? In due course, when these things go on from day to day, more and more, they result in destruction. Too many conflicts will arise. It is growing more and more. Right understanding is the only remedy. Unless you come to that, there is no peace. Man is being divided more and more. He is a man first, then the religious label he is carrying, then his racial label, then from which country he comes. So much splitting up. These atom bombs are waiting. God forbid. This is high time for right understanding. The New Age question is coming up among the young. There is awakening, but they require right guidance. Papers, television, radio, they can do much to ameliorate the false position, but they are also going the same narrow way. If general right understanding as an ideal is put before people, they try to publish these things in a very sweet way, I think. That might have a good effect, a better effect, to put down these conflicts. There are political restrictions between countries. There are language restrictions and racial restrictions, as you say. Truly speaking, all this trouble has passed beyond our care. We can only pray, O God, the world is aflame. It is past our care. We cannot do anything about it. You condescend to send down some grace to set it right. Let God save us in a way He likes. We want betterment just now. From day to day, these things are growing worse and worse, tighter everywhere. Is there an explosion coming up soon? If the trend goes on like this, there will be an inevitable result. If God sends some grace in His way, He likes to set this right. Otherwise, it is past our care, the care of human beings. Every day, tensions are growing more and more. The good we are trying to do is like pouring water into sand. It is just like that. Unless God, unless grace comes down from heaven, from God, that's the only remedy. They say the golden age will arise from the iron age. There is an awakening. With His grace, it may become more. It might meet it to some extent. Every country is wanting peace, peace, and yet they prepare themselves for war. Military expenditures. Every country is trying to have an atom bomb. Many have it already. Is India trying to have an atom bomb? They say they are not after it. But if there is an increase in nuclear arms, they will have it to at least save their lives. This is what they said publicly. We are not after it. We are not after the atom bomb. Well, I pray God send His grace. It is past our care already, honestly speaking. It's taking more grace from God these days than it has in the past, then. Surely. And still more grace is required to put down all these troubles which are growing more and more. Is that additional grace going to be forthcoming? What goes out of the heart of the afflicted people? Naturally, that is sent by God. After all, we are all His children. But such like affairs are doomed, I would say, irremediable. They have gone to such an extent, they say. Peace, peace, peace. They are trying, but with all that, they are preparing themselves for war. As it appears on the face of it, in some places the difficulties are communism. They are provincial, or national, or racial, and these problems are everywhere. Since we have been here for the past few weeks, I haven't followed the newspapers at all, and I don't know how the peace talks are coming along. And in parentheses, Master has the Vietnam peace talks then being held in Paris. Actually, what we say we should do, we should live, then it's all right. They talk of peace but are spending more and more on genocide day to day, don't you think so? Lots spent on armaments, yes. If they talk of peace, let them also have less armaments. More than half of the income of a country is spent on that, even more than half. And if this was spent for the good of the people, then we are all brothers. Each country should advance as much as possible and be a source of help to others. You strengthen yourself and let others also have strength. In addition to individual karma, I suppose there is national karma as well. Haven't you read it in The Wheel of Life? I mentioned it there. Is the master power going to stop this explosion, which seems so inevitable? Men will be saved who turn their faces to him. That's all I can say. The only thing is, we say something and then do something else. That's the trouble. If the governments really want peace, then where's the trouble? They should avoid encroaching on the rights of others. Live and let others live. Make their country so advanced and peace-giving that everyone else would like to come there. Now, there are restrictions. You cannot go out from one country into another without a visa. You cannot leave a country without a passport. So there are strongholds. Is this not so? We go around like prisoners. When I returned from the 1963 tour, the airplane was not in order and we had to stay in Cairo. So we were restrained. All right, leave all your baggage, all your passports, and if you had to go to the bank, there were two soldiers with bayonets this side and two on that side to go to the bank. This is our fate. Just think. If your visa has expired, they won't let you leave the ship. You will be turned back from the port. This is what is happening. Russell Jack, the author of Gurudev, came to India, and perhaps you might have heard about him. He has written one or two books, and he has stayed in the ashram. His visa expired. First it was extended for 3 months, then 6 months. You cannot stay here more than that. He sent it to Pakistan. From there it was extended. He wanted to live in India. Then again he came to India. Again his visa expired. Then he had to send it to Burma, the other side. Then again he wanted it to extend his stay. He applied for it, and by the time the sanction arrived, his time has expired the day before. So he was turned out of India. The sanction did not arrive a day earlier. That's all, a true mirror of the fate of the country. He could not remain because the sanction did not arrive at Calcutta in time. It was only a day late. I sent him a wire, but he could not stay. This is a very ordinary incident I am quoting. There are more, graver than that. There are so many governments. Each man should keep his country in a blooming state. Let everybody come in freely and enjoy it, and then help others bring up their governments in the same blooming state. That should be the attitude. You're painting a very dismal state of affairs tonight. Can't you offer us any hope? That must be one of the initiates asking questions. This is hope. There are saints, of course, those who turn their faces to him, who stand at his door. But I'm talking of the general state of affairs. The trend in which it is going will end in disaster, headlong, down, daily. They speak of peace. They speak with their lips, but they act otherwise. Mohammedan countries form an alliance. All Christian countries form an alliance. There's trouble going on everywhere. In India, too, we have got the provincial troubles. Wheat has been sold at Bombay, say at 100 rupees a mound, about 82 pounds. The same wheat is sold here. 30 rupees. The same wheat is sold in other regions also at a different rate. The country is the same, but one province will not let others help. The same wheat in Pakistan is sold at a much cheaper rate. If we think we are all one, then where is the trouble? Right understanding is required. There's no other remedy. And his grace. This is what the masters did in the past. They went out and gave people right understanding. And also, wake up. Anyway, it has passed out of the hands of the Son of Man. That much is sure. Now it is 1970. Don't you think in 20 or 30 years will be more trouble if this goes on like that? But there is an awakening also. There is a good sign. They are having conferences to bring our religions together, and the religions are forming pillars. And now the further trend is we should have all world religions united, a world organization, each religion. Whatever they give you, the basic message remains the same. What is wanted is reformers, not of others, but of ourselves. Let us reform our countries. If we are going to reform our countries, it means we are going to have to get into political action. Is this the time for that? I mean, as opposed to reforming ourselves. Politics cannot be reformed. Here in India, we have more political parties than in other countries where they have only two or three. Here we have about 9 or 10. Now I've found the remedy for that. For instance, the Delhi area consists of 5 or 6 areas. In each of those areas, I went out and gave a talk. I told them, whether you are Hindu, Mohammedan, or Sikh, you are all brothers and you live together. Be responsible for the honor of others. Daughters and mothers, be responsible for the life and wealth of others. Those who are sick should be helped. Those who are in need should be helped. All should be looked after in your area. If anybody is not good, try to reform him. And similarly, if you do that all over India, let the world government change and remain the same. What is it to you? If wife and husband go on amicably, what has the emperor got to do with it? Advocate social rather than political action. Yes, that you can do. That is in your hands. You suggest that people of integrity should stand for office, should be voted for. And that would imply perhaps satsangis. And yet, on the other hand, satsangis, you say, should indulge more in social action than in standing for office. All are satsangis. Some have been put on the way, have been given a touch inside, but they are still yet to become full-blooming satsangis. All are satsangis. Some have got ingress. Some have not, but the truth is there. All ministers, everyone, should resign for 3 months before voting. Then you should vote for the man of integrity. He must have some background of service. Selfless service. If he is chosen from any party, he should serve as the son of the country, not as the son of the party. Those who are chosen because of their party, they fight for the party. And who is in trouble? This is what has happened and is still going on. And moreover, they should have full conviction. Government of the people, by the people, for the good of the people. And once they are chosen, if they have not proved up to the mark, they should be recalled, even the government. If they are enjoined to resign 3 months before the date of voting and these things are followed, then I think the government will also change. You cannot turn out those who have been chosen now, can you? No, they continue. Maybe doing good, maybe bad. They fight for the parties, standing against others because they belong to that party. So I think this appears to be a very common sense remedy. I am not a political man, I tell you. They select me everywhere. All men are dragging me for so many things. They have faith in me. They know what I say. Common sense. Don't you think governments will change in 10 years if we go on like that? If they're not changed, even then we can still live amicably. Just have that inner way. So reformers will come up that way. This is the way to develop the golden age out of the iron age. With his grace, of course. Pray for it. Both political and social reforms, then, are needed before the golden age comes. That will inevitably result if you do these things. Even the government can change by voting, but they're not after change, you see. Do you think that today's youth is fundamentally idealistic enough to bring about the changes that you suggest? They want right guidance only now. They've got no right guidance. They are after it. That urge is within them, but they are not given right guidance. If they've been given this, naturally, they'll take a change in hand in 5 to 10 years. I don't know if anybody's going to tell them these things. Do you think these things can be told in the regular media of the day, the regular newspapers? Where's the harm in it? Man is a free thinker. Government might impose. That's another thing. But this is the only way. Before voting, all should resign. Then there'll be fair voting. Not these parties, while in power, in the chair, exercise every influence to be voted in again by the people. Only those who are men of integrity, those who have got some background of selfless service when chosen, should serve. If he's in America, first serve America, not the party. Now parties are fighting like anything, as I tell you. If two bullocks are fighting, the crops are split. No, the crops are spoiled. I got in trouble when I used the words satangi. But should we assume that initiates should not run for office? If they're chosen, they can behave as I have explained. How does it go against initiation? You wish good for all. Is it not so? If such like people were really initiates and they're really on the way, they're selfless, they're honest, they've got higher spiritual strength, they'll work wonders. I think it would be just wonderful, but wouldn't it take away from spiritual development? My Lord, how long do you put in for meditation out of 24 hours? You put in 2 to 3 hours. In the rest of the 24 hours, how many do you put into your work? Put in some time the right way. You're giving yourself in the sacrifice of others. When a brick is well baked, You can use it anywhere. It will make a strong wall. If a man is changed, he will work wonders in any line he chooses. With not to stay away and live in the forest. This is very common sense. To me, it appears like that. Maybe not to many, but as a free man, I think you'll agree. Politicians are the worst people. They are chosen by us. You curse yourself. Why did you choose them? I say sometimes to people, when the government is bad, who is the cause of it? You? Why did you vote for the wrong person? So for the future, don't do it. If they cannot come round before that period, whatever they're chosen for, 3 or 5 years after that, don't put such people back in office. That is your responsibility. Now people are driven in like animals to vote. Is this not so? In India especially. But I see in every country it's like that. They're fighting like anything among themselves. Whereas all this is meant for the good of the country, we, with all good wishes, they're splitting up the country. Don't you think physical, mundane, and political problems could easily be solved in the spiritual way? I think it's a wonderful concept. I don't think I've ever heard you say before that initiates should get themselves thus involved in actions of the world. I've never said they shouldn't. We are not to leave the world and go to the forest. We've come here to live. We have to learn swimming in water, not on dry land. When everything goes with your will and pleasure, where's the difficulty in your being very calm and quiet? But if even in the heat of the moment you remain calm and quiet, that is wonderful. For that, you've got the bread of life. It helps you spiritually, but also physically, intellectually, socially, and politically, everywhere. Socially, I don't know. I mean in certain social groups I'm aware of. I don't know how endeared being an initiate makes you to remember of those social groups. This is an initiate asking questions of the master, and then the master answers. You have something to give to your spirit, to give you strength spiritually. If you're weak, have good food, have exercise. It does not affect your work. What that makes you stronger, is it not so? Now we are amputated men. Physically we are developed, intellectually we are developed, spiritually, we are nowhere. On spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. This is a very important phase of life. Everybody is groaning, crying against governments, this and that. Who is at the back of it? Those who are crying. So you see, spiritual life does not stand in the way of services. Genuine service to society, to the country, and to the world. This is the end of the reading at this point. And we say, Father, God, Guru, Kripal, we sit at the door and express our gratitude and appreciation for your gift to us of Nam. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you for the wonderful reading. excuse me a minute, I'll do a count. So today we had 73 people at the satsang. Thank you everybody for attending. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now please hang up your phone.